Hey folks, this is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski. Get ready for the Social Spitball Show on blogtalkradio.com with your co-host Barbara D, right after a word from our kind sponsors. Do you appreciate listening to the Social Spitball Show? Well, your man in Amsterdam, your host, Bram Sarkowski, and co-host Barbara D, appreciate the indispensable support of Barry Sensa of Facebook, Robin Conrad of the Democratic 2014 and 2016 Change Campaign of Facebook, and Crystal Stevens, the Liberal Kitty. You can find all three, and us, and get to know your candidates and guests. Learn about current issues, and listen to exciting podcasts, all in one place. KnowYourCandidates.Weebly.com. That's KnowYourCandidates.Weebly.com. Weebly.com. Visit the link. Enjoy the content. Oh, and while you're there, show some love. Donate under contact. Thanks for listening.
This is Bram Sarkowski of the Social Spitball Show. Barbara D and I want you to run for office. We want you to win. That's why we encourage you to contact Bold Blue Media today. Call 888-978-1448, email info@boldbluemedia.com, or visit boldbluemedia.com on the web. Thanks for listening. Hey folks, it's your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski here. Barbara D and I are so honored and excited to call Janice Covington Allison an official friend of the Social Spitball Show with her appearance on Sunday, April 12, 2015. Janice is a veteran of this great nation, a democratic and equality activist who most recently blazed a trail for fellow members of the transgender community by running for chairwoman of the North Carolina Democratic Party. Janice is a wonderful woman with a loving heart for all. As allies, we can stand up for transgender rights, but there's no way we can know what it's like to be a member of the trans or transgender community. Thankfully, we at the Social Spitball Show are happy to share a phone number and website connected to those who do know what it's like, members of the transgender community themselves. The Trans Lifeline is a free hotline for transgender people experiencing a crisis. This includes people who may be struggling with their gender identity and are not sure if they are transgender. This next part may seem counterintuitive, but to me it's actually very perfect and very true. The Trans Lifeline urges, if you are not sure if you should call or not, then please call us. In the United States, call 877-565-8860. That's 877-565-8860. In Canada, you can call 877-330-6366. That's 877-330-6366. You can also find them on the web at www.translifeline.org. All lives matter. You are not alone. Trans Lifeline is there for you. Please call. Thanks for listening.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics? And a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
Subscribe today. Visit boldbluemedia.com/subscribe or call 888-978-1448. Thanks for listening. Let people vote. It's a simple yet powerful concept and sentiment that people have fought and died for. It's a sentiment shared by the civic organizations such as the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the NAACP. Hey folks, this is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski. Let People Vote brought Barbara D. and I together on December 1st, 2013, to challenge the actions of a Tea Party member of our local Board of Elections. That partnership formed was PETV, People for the Ethical Treatment of Voters. As PETV, we're fighting for your voting rights, not just our own. If you believe like we do, that all should have an equal voice in the democratic process, then show it. Visit our online store on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/PETVORG. That's facebook.com. Papa Echo Tango Victor Oscar Romeo Golf. Then click on the products tab to purchase your buttons and stickers. Let your voice be heard. Show the world you agree to let people vote. Thanks for listening.
To the Social Spitball Show with your host, Bram Sarkowski. This is your forum to discuss politics, religion, democracy, and sometimes even music, sports, and culture. Please join Bram and your co-host, Barbara D. Let's get the conversation going. All right. This is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski, and once again, I am a recording. Tonight, you will hear the public hearings on the new proposed voter ID rules. These hearings are recorded in Manteo on Thursday, June 4th, and in Wilmington on Friday, June 5th. And these hearings are coordinated by the North Carolina Board of Elections, and they were held throughout the state. First up this evening, you will hear the Manteo public hearing.
15. My name is George McHugh. I am agency counsel and rulemaking coordinator for the State Board of Elections. Also here tonight with me, we have Joshua Lawson, our public information officer and an attorney with our office. And from our voter outreach team, Ted Fitzgerald in the back of the room. And I'll be talking a little bit more about some of the things Ted has out there. We'd also like to thank the Dare County Board of Elections for partnering with us and arranging to host this meeting. So thank you very much to the Director Garrison. And we have Board Member Midget. And do we have any other board members in attendance?
Our chairman will be here very shortly.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for hosting this today.
Coming all the way to the east.
It's very enjoyable evening to be out here in Dare County.
Good weather too.
I know. I'm very happy about that. Before starting, a couple housekeeping items. I believe there's bathrooms around the corner, and again, we have our voter outreach team with some materials out front, at front that front door. So let's get into what we'll be talking about tonight. The subject of this hearing is five administrative rules proposed by the North Carolina State Board of Elections. The State Board of Elections engaged in rulemaking as required by a law called Session Law 2013-381, also known as House Bill 589. That law places photo identification requirements for in-person voting starting in the year 2016. Please note that the purpose of this hearing is to hear public comment on the proposed rules, not for comment on the laws that made this rulemaking necessary. And if anybody does need to see a copy of the rules, we do have some copies up here in the corner if you'd like to take a look at them. Please do understand that the State Board of Elections is an administrative agency. The General Assembly makes the laws, and the job of the State Board of Elections, of which we're staff of, is to implement the laws, and in this case, engage in rulemaking that the General Assembly has determined is necessary to implement the laws. The State Board does not have authority to change laws and can only work within the rulemaking authority granted to it by the General Assembly. So the purpose of the hearing tonight is to receive public comment from interested parties. It is not a question and answer session. And I will make a note, because we have a smaller group tonight, to say that if you all do have questions following the hearing, we are certainly happy to informally talk about the rules. But as far as what the hearing is on the record today is to receive comment from the public. So it is not a question and answer session, but we certainly can answer questions, and our voter outreach staff member can also, just outside, even while the public comment hearing is taking place. And again, we cannot answer questions during the comments being made. It is important that the hearing is conducted in an orderly fashion so we can have a clear record, which is being transcribed, of the comments that are provided here. I'll also just break to say that we do have the opportunity to provide written comments. We have some comment cards here, but if you do provide the comments verbally today, they are going to be transcribed, so it's not necessary for you to write out your comments. So all comments that we receive during any of these public comment hearings, and this is going to be one of nine that we're conducting across the state, all of those verbal comments, along with the written comments that we receive to our office by the end of this month, June 30th, those will all be considered by the State Board of Elections before it moves forward with its rulemaking process. The written comments, if you'd like to email those in, those can be sent to this email address we've put up here, rules@ncsbe.gov. You can also grab that link off of our, that email address off of our website. Or comments can be mailed to the State Board of Elections to the attention of the rulemaking coordinator, P.O. Box 27255, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. Folks who wish to speak about the rules, which are the subject matter of today's hearing, are asked to sign up at the sign-up sheet at the front of the room. Please write neatly on that sign-up sheet your full name, email address, and the name, phone number, and the name of any organization or person that you're providing comments on behalf of or are associated with. If anybody does happen to come in later, we'll leave this sheet out, and I don't foresee we're going to have any issue with getting through comments tonight, even if everybody here wants to provide some comments. We should have plenty of time with 2 hours. So when your name is called off of that list, please step up to the podium here, and you can provide your comments. And we won't have to worry about, I don't think we're going to worry about a time limit. If you think that you may need more than 5 or 10 minutes, please let us know, and we might save you for the end, just to make sure we have time so everybody gets to speak at least once. And we do have, well, we're not going to worry about time limits today. Yeah, we won't even worry about time limits today. We had a bigger group in Raleigh last night, but I think we're going to be perfectly fine today. And again, it's not just as it just as you don't have to provide written comments of something that you say tonight. If you're more comfortable providing written comments and you already have done that, you don't have to speak them tonight either. That's completely up to you. So just to list off the rules that we're going to be talking about tonight. And again, those photocopies of the rules are up front. This is going to be Chapter 8, North Carolina Administrative Code 17.0101. The first one is Determination of Reasonable Resemblance at Check-In. Then 17.0102, Determination of Reasonable Resemblance by Judges of Election. 17.0103, Identification Required of Curbside Voters. 17.01 resemblance is determined, and 17.0105 declaration of a religious objection to photograph. Again, before we call the first speaker, please note that this hearing is being recorded and transcribed. When you are called forward to speak, please speak up so the court reporter can take down everything you're saying and speak slowly and clearly. During your allotted time, you may provide any comment you'd like about the five proposed rules. Again, please remember that the purpose of this hearing is not a forum to make comments about the laws passed by the General Assembly, positive or negative, and we appreciate that. So with that, I think we'll get started. I'll just grab the sign-in sheet right here. Is there anyone present here who wishes to sign up? And we can probably get started with the first speaker. That would be, is it Maddie?
I'm sorry. Maddie Lawson?
Yes, Ms. Lawson, that's right. And you're welcome to come up here to the podium.
Hello, I'm Maddie Lawson. I'm here representing myself as a taxpayer and private citizen. I appreciate the opportunity to have input into these rules. Thank you so much for coming and for providing copies of the rules. I hadn't read them until this evening. Just have two comments, and that is on the 0101, determination of reasonable resemblance at check-in. There is a provision for expired and unexpired identification, as well as item number 3G calls out possibility of issue with aging, and I would think that an expiration date would ideally preclude the need to be concerned that aging would be a reason that you couldn't identify someone. So those two ideas ought to be self-supporting. And also the H, photographic lighting conditions or printing quality, I would like to see that expanded on, because it could be perceivable that just about any lighting condition or printing quality could be presented, and without having a clearly defined differentiation between what is actually acceptable and what is not. I see that could potentially be used as a default and create issues with those who are trying to vote without having proper identification. Those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. The second name is Wynette.
Yes, Wynette. Is it okay if I sit down right here?
Yeah, actually, we can informalize this a little bit.
Okay,
that's fine. We got a small enough group that it's fine.
You could speak up though. This is being recorded.
Yeah, actually,
I will speak up.
Okay, that would be appreciated.
Well, good evening, folks. My name is Wynette Hawkins. I'm here at the behest of Democracy North. Very strong advocates of campaign finance reform, and they're also deeply involved in civic engagement issues. They asked me to, I'm also got a couple of decades worth of voting rights advocacy and voting rights support work. I've developed a number of programs for that, redistricting facilities and such as that over the last 10, 15 years, so I've got quite a bit experience, and I've worked with Democracy North Carolina in the past. So what do I want to, well, Democracy North Carolina, let me just go back to the base. I have to say one thing about the law. Can't resist it. Every time you add I'm a former political scientist, taught in universities for a couple of decades, and every time you, voters tend to see voting as a cost-benefit kind of thing. So every time you add an additional cost, whatever that might be, getting a photo ID in this particular instance, creates an additional barrier for voters, and that results in suppressed or diminished voter turnout, which is not the direction I think we really want to go in an authentic democracy. We have the lowest turnout in the world, and adding additional requirements to voters is a problem. I know we're not supposed to discuss that here, but I would be curious to know what the State Board of Elections testimony was before legislative committees entertaining this bill. The administrative approval adopted for this new law can make a huge positive difference, and that's why Democracy North Carolina wanted me to come here and talk for just a minute about you. Democracy, you know, I want to stay within the 3-minute rule, so I'm going to read a couple of things off that Democracy North Carolina supports by way of the administration of this rule, these new rules. One, we support recognition of name variations, and I think the legislation in and of itself does a pretty good job of that. But we can do better to provide wider variations in how names, you know, are conveyed. We support the address on the ID, the voter photo ID, as immaterial. That is, you can't discard it as long as it hasn't expired. We support a range of IDs for curbside voters. I think we ought to identify what the range of curbside of IDs are for curbside voting. We urge acceptance of student photo IDs. Now, let me say that was one thing I had some direct experience with, because for a number of years, at least half a dozen years, I organized voter registration and voter get out the vote drives at a historically black university, Norfolk State University up in Norfolk. And they were tremendous problems involved in getting the registration information accepted by the local registrar, and it resulted actually in a lawsuit that's still going on. So I would urge to have the largest leeway possible. Students are a special category, but they usually, on other grounds, like living in the state for 30, in the county for 30 days, satisfy other requirements for voting. But I think we should be very specific about that. Another thing we, Democracy North Carolina, wanted to support was allowing voters without ID to sign a sworn statement and give 4 digits of their social security numbers or birth date to match with the voter roll. So another kind of strategy to get that folks have their IDs accepted. We've got 3 more of these. Support adding staff at polls to present long lines while judges argue over accepting IDs. There's going to be some confusion at the polls. And to straighten that out, the lines may easily back up without additional staff. Support strong training of all poll workers. Democracy North Carolina is a strong advocate for resources for training folks at the SBE. It will support that. You can note our support for that. And we support documenting which judges oppose which voter IDs to evaluate for possible bias. Now, as a teacher, I'll just two or three, I know I'm going a little bit long, but as a teacher, I'll just say two or three things. One is, I think 30 or 60 days before the election, the State Board of Election would do well to widely publicize, I don't know if they have the resources to do this, but widely publicized to minimize the disenfranchisement consequences, widely, really strong program of public advocacy to inform the electorate of this new photo ID requirement. I know you've got voter outreach. I think that's terrific. Democracy North Carolina will be doing some, and we would probably want to coordinate with you on that so we can get a really strong program out there 30 to 60 days before the election, so we minimize the amount of disenfranchisement that occurs. When I read the requirements myself, I wasn't quite sure how we're going to treat homeless folks. I'm not I'm not sure where I can find some clarity on that. And then finally, as a teacher, I would just say, whatever you all do by way of publicizing, the changes in law, be very clear about exactly what the requirements are by way of these photo IDs. Be very clear, because otherwise it leads to subjective applications of the law, and that gets to be problematic down the road. Any pattern, of discrimination to be evidence. So thank you. I'm sorry it took too much time.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker, yeah. You would like to speak?
Yes.
Okay, great. And I think going forward, perhaps we would ask folks just to come up to the podium here. Maybe we could kind of put it this direction. But just to make sure that we're getting it for the record.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry guys. Thank you.
And my name is Damian Conyers. I'm a former president of the Dare County Young Dems here of Dare County, former third vice chair of the Dare County Democratic Party here, and I'm just representing myself. And honestly, I'm just going to voice my little opinion on this. I kind of feel like it is a travesty that in order to vote, you have to show your ID on something that America, I believe, originated on a premise of voting, which is a basic birthright. And I just don't kind of understand that. And especially, I feel like we are turning into the government, which was basically in the novel of 1984 and in Animal House by George Orwell. If it seems like we're turning into a totalitarian type of government, if the government knows what you do on the internet, and now the government is going to dictate how you vote and on how you're supposed to get into the voting by showing an ID. So I'm wondering, how does somebody who is incarcerated, how are they supposed to vote? I mean, do they have to show an ID if they were formerly incarcerated? Or I'm just kind of a little bit confused about that. So there's nothing much I can really say other than I just believe that America was founded upon those principles of you should be able to vote. That's a birthright. That's why the Puritans came over here, because they didn't have a freedom of religion. And here we are, we have the freedom to vote, and it's like we're taking the freedom of voting away. If you have to show an ID, now you can vote. Oh, this is you, this is how you look. Yep, that's you, now you can vote. I just do not agree with that, but unfortunately it's already been passed and it's gonna be here in 2016, but that's all I can say.
Thank you for the comments, Mr. Conyers.
Yes, sir, Conyers.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker on our list is Lynn Logan.
Right here.
Thank you, Ms. Logan.
Hello, my name is Lynn Logan, and I'm here representing the League of Women Voters of North Carolina. The League of Women Voters has a little over a 90-year history, not personally myself, but 90-year history of making sure that people can have and exercise their legal right to vote. And so that's one of the reasons I belong to the League of Women Voters. But let me first say that we're disappointed that House Bill 589 was passed in 2013, and now we are getting to public comment. I'm afraid that with it going into action after the first of the year and the primaries being in March, there's not going to be enough time for the comments we make today for making any rule revision. But I hope there will be some rule revision, because when I was reading through these rules, the word that came out more times than not in my own mind was ambiguous. Had the photo ID, how to clarify this is really a picture of you. For those of you who might know, I've had very gray hair for a very long time, and I look very different now. So that probably would be one of my concerns. But also, I thought it was ambiguous about the names. I thought the change to the address, if it's relevant to and close to. All these things I thought were, ambiguous. But I want to particularly talk about the curbside voting. This is kind of personal to me. I took my father, who lived here for the last few years of his life, to curbside voting, and I was so very grateful and to have that for him. And unfortunately, I've had to use it recently, but it was a godsend for me to do that. But the curbside voting is confusing. Now, it says that the curbside voter could have a government-issued photo ID. But they don't have to have that there. They have alternatives. They can have a current utility bill. On a side note, that would be in my husband's name. They could have a bank statement. They could have a government check. They could have a paycheck. Or they could have some other government document. I personally have a Navy wife dependent card that does not have my address on it. And I have a passport, too, that does not have my address on it. So besides an ID, a government photo ID, these are other options for someone who is voting curbside. Now, to prepare to go to vote curbside, I think I would be confused as to what of these things I should bring with me. So I think this is ambiguous in that regard. I think it's also, I've had the privilege of working the polls at the college and precinct, and I would like to testify here and now that our Board of Elections here has trained their poll workers very well indeed, and because I've been to those trainings and I've worked those polls. But when Collington, when that alarm goes off, it always scares us anyway. But it means that someone's pulled over the alarm and needs someone to go down for curbside voting. Now, we do not require a handicap sticker to do this. If someone just feels they can't make it up the elevator, the stairs to college, or wherever they're going to vote, they are obliged and privileged to be able to use this service. Okay, so the poll worker goes down and tries. Now they're going to have to determine on a one-person basis whether this picture looks like her or him, or if this is the address or not address, or what are they giving me? There's going to be, I think, some confusion when left out to one person standing. They're not going to be able to bring down all the judges. They can't leave the building to determine if the picture was this person's picture. And so I think it would be a huge responsibility for the person that's in charge of curbside voting. And I'm not really sure why curbside voting is so much different than in-person voting in the polling place. All right, so those are I'm concerned about the ambiguity, particularly there, because ambiguity leads to inconsistency. And inconsistency is going to lead to someone being disenfranchised to vote. At some place in North Carolina, there's going to be either some agenda or there's going to be just some basic mistakes that people make, that people are going to, when they come to the polls and they stand in line and they get up to the desk and they're so, and many people are just, I can think of the two or three first-time voters that I had was the privilege to check in. They were so excited about doing this. And if they go away because of a inconsistency in the photograph or a mistype, Bobby besides Robert, I know that's already in the rules to be okay, but there are just too many things that could go wrong. It could be inconsistent over even just Dare County. So I think this ambiguity in these rules right now, as the way they're written, run the risk of just disenfranchising valid voters. So that these rules of the Board of Elections from North Carolina, I clearly don't think that these rules are ready for prime time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Logan. We just have one more speaker who has signed up, and following that, we'll provide the opportunity if anybody else has shown up and wishes to speak, they certainly can. But the last speaker I have here has striked out is Marguerite?
Marguerite.
Marguerite.
surprised that more of us have not been wanting to speak.
And what was your last name, ma'am?
Umflett.
Umflett.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Umflett.
Yeah. I'm totally unprepared in that I have not had an opportunity to look at all of this earlier. I've been very busy. I'm Marguerite Umflett. I do live in Manteo, and I'm a county commissioner. I'm not speaking for anyone other than myself. I'm amazed that people think that it would be so difficult to get a photo ID. I'll use this as an illustration. Just recently, my husband decided to give up his driver's license. And immediately when he went to turn it in, they said, well, you're going to need a photo ID. And immediately they gave him one. It took 10 minutes or less, and we walked out. There's plenty of time between now and the time of the next election to get a photo ID. It is not costly. It's free. So it's not going to be prohibitive because of cost. People going to hospitals have to have a photo ID. When you go to the doctor's office for a doctor's appointment, along with your medical information that you need to give them, they require a photo ID. So if all of, and so far as I know, libraries require one. I don't feel that it will take additional staff at voting time. In fact, I think oftentimes it might speed things up. People will know that they have to have them. They'll have them out of their pocket. The people looking at them will be able to recognize that as being the person that is actually standing before them. And you and I know, and it's been written all over the country in newspapers throughout the country, the number of dead people that have gone to the polls to vote and the people that have said that they have voted more than one time. This will alleviate that type of thing. If you get ready to go on an airplane to go anywhere, you're required to have a photo ID. I do not see this as a hindrance. I see this as a help to get rid of fraud in our voting system. And I think it's high time that we had that. And I'm excited about the opportunity for that to be implemented.
Thank you, Commissioner Umflett. Okay. I know we've had perhaps a couple people show up. Is there anyone in addition who has an interest in speaking tonight about the rules?
Yes, sir, over here.
Okay.
My name is Mary Jane Slezinski.
Okay.
And I'm speaking only on my own behalf.
Thank you.
I think that we're looking through this wormhole, personally, from our own experience, as white middle-class people. I think we're not looking at the rest of the people who are entitled by law, by serving in the armed forces, by risking their lives, by losing family members who were fighting overseas for the rights of everyone who's a citizen of this United States to vote. I just want to tell you my own experience working in Washington, D.C., okay? I worked for the federal government, and we all had a name tag with our picture on it. It served to get on an airplane. I'm not sure if it still does, but at the time it did. Now, the agency with which I was acquainted decided that they were going to have new requirements for their own employees. They were employees that worked there in very sensitive government positions for a long, long time, and everyone knew who they were. But they decided suddenly that, no, that wasn't good enough. We were going to have new, you know, fingerprint identification to get into the computers. Fine, no problem. Now, these people that were employed there for years working, this was in the Veterans Administration, working there for years as trusted employees into anything they wanted to find out about anyone who had ever been in the armed services. Suddenly, they were people without an ID. Their government tag no longer counted. They had to come in with two forms of a picture ID. They did not have them. They lived in Washington, D.C. Many of them never drove. They didn't have a car because they couldn't afford a car on their generous salaries that they were being paid by the federal government. Couldn't afford a car, didn't have a place to park a car, had no reason to have, and didn't drive, and didn't have a driver's license. They had no other form of picture ID to start with. they were no longer able to do their jobs because they had this rule. Now, we all think, yes, you need a picture ID for this, you need a picture ID for that. Have you gone to the emergency room without a picture ID? Were you denied care?
You are at my office. You're denied care at my office.
I'm sorry, we're not having that discussion.
Then something needs to be done about that. I'm just telling you that there are a lot of people in this world that don't have a picture ID. There are still people in this world whose births were never registered. They were registered in another state. They're women who have been married and divorced and changed their name several times. My sister-in-law has had 5 name changes since she was born. This isn't atypical in today's world. We have to think of all of these things when we're thinking about these rules and whether or not they're reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And ma'am, could I have you sign your information here, just sure. So we have that for the record, ma'am. I wasn't sure how to spell your last name.
You couldn't guess.
Is there anyone else who has any interest in providing comments? If that's the case, I think what we'll do is we can go off the record at this point, and we'll be available. If people show up, we will open the record back up, and they can provide comments. But otherwise, we'll probably just be available for informal discussions, but not for the record. If anybody has anything and wants to talk individually.
I have a question.
Yes.
Your driver's license has an address, and then your registration has another address. Do those two have to match?
We can't provide
answers yet.
Yeah, we can't provide answers, exact answers on that.
So I'm registering people right now, and I just need to know if they need to, change.
We can do that off the record after.
Yeah,
after we go off the record. Hearing.
I did it in your office.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Then
we'll what's up?
Let's do that.
You're listening to The Social Spitball Show with your host, Bram Sarkowski, and featuring Barbara D. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Mental illness, including severe bipolar disorder and major depression, affect millions of Americans every day. Most affected feel that they are alone. You are not alone. This is Bram Sarkowski. I, too, suffer from depression and social anxiety. At the Social Spitball Show, we, of course, appreciate you, the listeners. We want you to know that we are listening to you. The National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, is listening, too. Please don't hesitate to call the NAMI helpline at 1-800-950-NAMI. That's 1-800-950-NAMI. You could also visit their website at nami.org. That's nami.org. Thanks for listening.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics? And a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
Subscribe today. Visit boldbluemedia.com/subscribe or call 888-978-1448. Thanks for listening.
Do you appreciate listening to The Social Spitball Show? Well, your man in Amsterdam, your host, Bram Sarkowski, and co-host Barbara D. appreciate the indispensable support of Barry Sensa of Facebook, Robin Conrad of the Democratic 2014 and 2016 Change Campaign of Facebook, and Crystal Stevens, the Liberal Kitty. You can find all three, and us, and get to know your candidates and guests. Learn about current issues and listen to exciting podcasts, all in one place. KnowYourCandidates.Weebly.com. That's KnowYourCandidates.Weebly, WEEBLY.com. Visit the link. Enjoy the content. Oh, and while you're there, show some love. Donate under contact. Thanks for listening.
Bold Blue Media Alliance, giving you every tool you need to run a strong, credible, competitive campaign in any district in America. It's time to take the fight to our opponents, and it's time to win. And with Bold Blue Media Alliance and our team of vetted professionals, you don't have to go it alone. Professional level services, top-notch, on-demand training, and a big campaign look without the need for a big campaign budget. Let's run strong. Every state, every seat, every district, no exceptions. We're leveling this playing field. We're in your corner, and we're giving you all the tools you need to win. It all begins now. Let's get to work.
This is Bram Sarkowski of the Social Spitball Show. Barbara D. and I want you to run for office. We want you to win. That's why we encourage you to contact Bold Blue Media today. Call 888-978-1448, email info@boldbluemedia.com, or visit boldbluemedia.com on the web. Thanks for listening. Let people vote. It's a simple yet powerful concept and sentiment that people have fought and died for. It's a sentiment shared by the civic organizations such as the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the NAACP. Hey folks, this is your man in Amsterdam, Bram Sarkowski. Let People Vote brought Barbara D. and I together on December 1st, 2013, to challenge the actions of a Tea Party member of our local Board of Elections. That partnership formed was PETV, People for the Ethical Treatment of Voters. As PETV, we're fighting for your voting rights, not just our own. If you believe like we do, that all should have an equal voice in the democratic process, then show it. Visit our online store on Facebook by visiting facebook.com, PETVORG. That's facebook.com. Papa Echo Tango Victor, Oscar Romeo Golf. Then click on the Products tab to purchase your buttons and stickers. Let your voice be heard. Show the world you agree to let people vote. Thanks for listening.
Do you like what you're hearing? Do you want to hear more? You can. Thanks to the excellent host, blogtalkradio.com. You can hear this episode and others later at blogtalkradio.com, Bram Sarkowski. That's blogtalkradio.com/BRAMSARKOWSKI. Check us out. Click the link and get the conversation going. Thanks for listening. Listening to public hearings on the new proposed voter ID rules on the Social Spitball Show. Before the break, you heard the hearing from Manio, recorded on Thursday, June 4th. Right now, after the break, you'll hear the hearing recorded on Friday, June 5th, in Wilmington, North Carolina. You're listening to the Social Spitball Show on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Bram Sarkowski, and featuring co-host Barbara D. Now, let's rejoin the conversation.
Okay, it looks like it's about 5 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and get started here. So today is Friday, June 5th, 2015.
My name is George McHugh, and I'm with the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Along with me, I have Joshua Lawson. And just to go over job titles, my position with the State Board of Elections is agency counsel and rulemaking coordinator. Joshua Lawson is an attorney and a public information officer. And also with us, a gentleman in the back of the room is Ted Fitzgerald. He's the head of our voter outreach team. And I'd also like to extend a special recognition to our local county elections director, Derek Bowens, one of our best election directors in the state. We thank you very, very much for hosting us tonight here in Hanover County. Before I get we dive in, a couple other housekeeping items. I believe we have bathrooms just outside the doors in the back. And Ted, with voter outreach, is going to be available if anybody has any questions during the hearing or after the hearing on obtaining a acceptable photo ID. Ted leads the team that helps folks with that, and he can definitely help. He's also provided materials as well, that some posters and cards and other materials. So if you have those or wish to speak to him about facilitating an event where you'd like the voter outreach team to attend, that sort of thing, Ted is your man to see. The subject of the hearing tonight is going to be five administrative rules proposed by the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Just to review, the State Board of Elections is a nonpartisan state agency that's engaged in rulemaking as part of a bill entitled Session Law 2013-381. That's also known as House Bill 589. That law places new photo identification requirements for in-person voting beginning in 2016. Now, the next thing I want to note is something that's very important and just want to make sure everybody understands is the purpose of the hearing tonight is to receive from members of the public comments on the proposed rules that our agency is proposing. The purpose of this hearing is not comments on the laws that made the rulemaking necessary. I just want to say that so everybody understands that the State Board of Elections is simply a government agency, an administrative agency. The General Assembly makes the laws, and the job of the State Board of Elections is to implement the laws. And in this case, engage in rulemaking that the General Assembly has determined is necessary to implement the laws. The State Board of Elections does not have authority to change the laws. It can only work within its rulemaking authority that's granted to it by the General Assembly. I'll also say the purpose of this hearing is to receive public comment from interested parties, folks who have come here today. It is not a question and answer session. But again, that being said, if folks do have questions, we absolutely want to make the most of our time here and answer any individual questions that you have. And again, Ted Fitzgerald is going to be available. Even if you want to discuss anything outside the room, please do grab Ted or see us after the hearing, and we can answer any questions. The voter outreach team is available to help anyone obtain a free, no-fee photo ID for the purposes of voting at no cost from the Division of Motor Vehicles if they do not have an acceptable form of ID, or if they have any other questions about photo ID requirements under that law. And I'll also note that the voter outreach team, that's not part of the public comment hearing. Public comment hearing itself is part of our record that the State Board will be considering as they move forward with the rulemaking process. Today, we have a court reporter here that will be transcribing everything all the comments that we are receiving today. Again, we cannot answer questions as part of the hearing that will be conducted in this room. It's also important that this hearing is conducted in an orderly fashion so we have a clear record of the comments that are presented here. All comments received at the public comment hearings, along with comments received by our office by Friday, June 30th, will be considered by the State Board of Elections before it moves forward with the rulemaking process. Written comments can be emailed to an email address that we have up on the screen here. It's rules@ncsbe.gov, or they can be mailed to the Office of the State Board of Elections, and I can provide that mailing address if anyone does need that as well. Folks who wish to speak about the rules that are the subject matter of today's hearing are asked to sign up at the on the speakers list at the front of the room. Ted's pulling it up right there, and I believe we've got a handful of folks that have signed up so far. That sign-up sheet is going to be asking for your name, contact information, and if you're here representing anyone other than yourself, such as an organization or another person. When your name is called, what I'll do is I'll take that list once we get started, and I will call the individuals who have signed up. And it looks like right now we've got nine persons who have signed up. Now we have until 7 o'clock tonight for this public comment hearing, so we should have plenty of time for persons to be able to speak today. So what I'll do is, if anybody in addition, once we've gone through these nine names, if anybody in addition wishes to speak about the rules, you will have the opportunity to do so, and we'll have you sign up on this list, and we definitely should not have any problem doing that. This is actually one of several public comment hearings that we've conducted across the state. We had our first public comment hearing at our office in Raleigh on Wednesday night, and we had about 40 speakers speak at that event. And at that event, we did need to have a time limit to allow everybody to speak, but I believe everybody was able to get all their comments provided within that time. We should not have that issue tonight. If anybody perceives that they want to speak more than, say, 5 or 10 minutes, we may have an issue, but we didn't have time limit in Raleigh, and honestly, everybody seems to be able to go through their points in that time. So I appreciate everyone working with us on that. Although interested persons who attend this hearing are welcome to be heard, it's not necessary for comments to be re-delivered in spoken form if they've already been written, say, by sending an email to that address. Also, if you do provide comments today, it's not necessary for you to re-email them because we will have this transcribed and part of our record. So, getting to the rules, and we do have copies of the rules. I'm not sure if everyone, looks like folks have been taking that, but we do have copies of the proposed rules at the front of the room. Just to review what those rules are, there are 5 rules total, and I'll just read through what those are. The first rule is 08 North Carolina Administrative Code 17.0101, determination of reasonable resemblance to check-in, 17.0102, determination of reasonable resemblance by judges of election, 17.0103, identification required of curbside voters, 17.0104, opportunity to update name or address after reasonable resemblance is determined, and 17.0105, declaration of religious objection to photograph. We've already talked about the hearing being recorded and transcribed. On that note, please do speak clearly and into the microphone so we can have our court reporter record everything. During your allotted time, you may speak about comments pertaining to any of those 5 proposed rules. Again, please do remember that this hearing is not the proper forum to make comments about the laws passed by the General Assembly, positive or negative. Thank you very much. So with that, we'll open up to our public comments. And again, we have nine names here, so we'll go through the nine names to start with. The first speaker that has signed up is Leroy Sullivan. Mr. Sullivan?
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind stepping up to the microphone here. And I will turn over the floor to you, Mr. Sullivan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I am Leroy Sullivan. I'm a 25-year combat military veteran, 100% CRSI, disabled. In case anybody don't know what CRSI is, that's combat-related service injury. That means you're injured in combat. And for identification, we're all supposed to be Americans. That's what I found 25 years before. They give the people the right to vote and everything. And the people have that right unless they forsake it. And the people don't use an excuse that they can't get out and get an identification to show that for voter registration and to go vote, there's something wrong with them. If they're not laid up in a bed in a hospital or in a nursing home where they have people go around and give that, they can still get ID. School kids has to have ID to go to school. You have to have ID to go to the bank. You have to have ID for everything except for voting in the United States of America. And any other country you go to, you will have to have an identification to vote. And what the big dispute about it is, it's not the purpose of having ID. It's the purpose, the parties don't want people to have ID. And if you're an American and if you can't get an ID, which the government is furnishing everything possible to give you an ID at no cost and everything. I've got five IDs. I got military retired ID, I got driver's, I got six ID card with my picture on them and everything, and always have that. And people, there are very few people, I would say, in America that doesn't have some form of ID. If they went to school, if they went to a university, a college, they had to have ID with their picture on it. So these people use the excuse, say, oh, I'm sick. I can't get one. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm 100% disabled. My hip bone's connected to my neck bone. Believe it or not, everybody's born with two extra bones in your body. God gave you one of each hip. And they put it anywhere. Out in Vietnam on the Tet and the counter-Tet offensive. And I was in a hospital, a striker frame, in case somebody don't know what that is. That's the board where they drill holes in your head and hang weights down and pull your spinal cord back in where they can operate. And I was in the cast for 6 months later, and they said I'd never walk. And I wouldn't live. 6 months after, I was in the cast 6 months, months after they took the cast off, I was back in combat. But all the doctors, nurses, the corps, everybody was making bets that I'd never make it. But I said, the good Lord, I don't know where anybody believes in religion or non-religious or not, but there's somebody up there looking out for you. So don't use an excuse to me, but I don't play that game, that you're not able to go get an ID card. And another thing, which has nothing to do with it, I guess, but it's early voting. That's another scam that's being pulled on American people. And if we're Americans, we got to stand up and be Americans. And we're losing our identity throughout the world as being American. Other countries are starting to hate us. They say we're nothing no more. We went from number one to number 48 in the world. And that's pretty bad. And you take education and everything, we're at the bottom. We used to be at the top. And that comes from what? People always excuses. They got an excuse for everything in the world. I can't do this, I can't do that. But I notice they can always eat or run around with a soda or sit on their butt in front of a TV and not do nothing. But to get out and get it and go vote, they can't do that. And I said it should be, unless a person strictly can't move, should have to go to the voter poll on the day of election and vote. Unless they're out of the country, then get absentee. Don't go get absentee about 2 weeks because you're wanting to go out and party or something. That should be required strictly for sick people that are really sick. And I don't consider myself sick. I tell everybody I'm perfect. I'm healthy as heck. I'm always going. And I go to the doctor. I just went through a CAT scan and all this stuff this past Friday. I go through it every 6 months. And the doctors and everybody said, boy, you're a miracle. I said, no, I'm not a miracle. I got a contract with God. And so don't offer me excuse about you ain't got time to go do this and do that. And come and quit talking, just tell me to shut up.
If you had any other comments just on the rules themselves?
On the rules themselves, I like the rules. They should be enforced. And that there, if they don't have ID, they should not be allowed to vote. Because that's the problem. Especially in today's world, we've got Isaac, we got, they're coming out of the United States fighting, killing us. We don't know who they are. They can go vote, they don't have to have ID. Who are all the people? They got all these scams running, which has to do with voting and everything too. Just like they got this grandma and grandpa scam. I'll tell you that one. That's a bad one. Which there's no telling how many people in the United States of America have died from getting that phone call saying either their grandchild